Dharma upholds. Exchanging and giving. We usually want to exchange the fruit of our labor for something else. Trade, commerce. Trade is beneficial. It encourages creativity and excellence and helps all of humanity. People learn and are inspired by what others have created. Transporting products from one place to another involves labor, cost, and risk, for which traders must be fairly compensated. In each case, a certain amount of profit is dharmic. Only the trader knows this value because only the trader knows the labor and expense that was incurred. There is not a fixed percentage of profit that is dharmic and above which is not dharmic. There is a difference between trading with an honest profit and exploitation or extortion. Throughout history, traders have often been greedy and charged as much as they could induce buyers to pay. This practice undermines the economic foundation of a people. It cannot be controlled effectively by laws or governments, nor can there be any fixed criteria, because conditions vary all over the map. Dharmic exchange relies almost entirely on the integrity of individual traders. One cannot look to current customs or laws to determine what is dharmic and what is not, or what profit is dharmic and what is exploitation or extortion. It is the individual trader who must sense when he or she is crossing the line from just profit to exploitation. A guideline is to imagine oneself in the shoes of the other people involved and ask how they would feel if they knew everything. When someone has created something and made it available for free, it is not dharmic to sell it to other people. If one creates a greater work that includes free material, it is dharmic to charge for one's own work, as long as what one acquired for free is not the main product or attraction. The general public license, Creative Commons, and open source license agreements espouse this principle. A man who transmits healing energy from beyond has always refused to take money for the healing energy itself, as it does not come from him. He makes no claims and does not promise anything. He accepts transportation costs. He accepts a small royalty from videos in which he spends considerable time to assist viewers to be relaxed and receptive to goodness. And he accepts donations. But he does not accept payment for his time transmitting the energy or for any healing that occurs. This level of economic dharma is extremely rare in this day and age. A woman who is naturally extremely psychic has helped countless people with her psychic abilities, and she too has never charged. She knows inwardly that charging would be adharmic. She accepts donations if they are offered and derives income through other means. It is not dharmic to charge for anything that is purely spiritual, for anything that is not one's own ability or work, or for anything that was freely acquired. Spiritual energy or forces are beyond the human and cannot be measured or controlled and cannot be dharmically commercialized. If someone has and controls an ability or source of information, he or she can rightfully charge for using it, and it is therefore a human power. If one does charge for spiritual services, it degrades them, bringing the energy down instantly. The high vibration of spirituality disappears. The services may still be helpful, but that inexplicable divine energy evaporates when tied to a payment. Numerous people with special healing or psychic abilities have charged for their services. Some have found that their powers decreased, and some of them have resorted to cheating. Many simply lose touch with spirituality somehow, becoming off in their information or advice, and some of them have suffered greatly, especially at the end of their lives. It is usually not clear whether their suffering was directly related to financial matters, but a few of them have felt that it was. People who advertise spiritual services for pay tread on slippery ground because what is truly spiritual cannot be guaranteed by a person. Payment is commerce, and what is spiritual does not fit into the box of commerce. It is normally dharmic to charge for expert advice, for private conversations focusing on the client alone, for investigations or diagnostics, for instruction or courses, for procedures, or for items such as herbal preparations, remedies, appliances, or books. These can all help clients to reach their goals. Techniques alone are not enough, however, because the will and soul, emotions, beliefs, habits, and past behavior of the client are also factors in how they pursue their goals and whether they can even reach them. With human beings, we must always consider the whole person, body, mind, and soul. To be dharmic, people who do access spiritual energies and offer services for pay simply need to distinguish between their commercial services for which they charge and their access to spiritual forces for which they do not charge. Their claims and rates can simply reflect the actual commercial services they deliver. Whenever we charge, we are engaging in commerce, even if what we are delivering is not material, and the dharma of commerce applies. We must deliver what we promised. Whenever we charge for something, we are bound. Dharma in commerce means that in any contract, duties and benefits must be balanced, commensurate. Each party must have a duty and an appropriate benefit associated with that duty. If one party has no duties, that party is not entitled to any benefits, regardless of any document or law, signed or implied. Learning not to steal material, energy, or information in a three-dimensional world is training ground for advanced realms where stealing is not allowed and does not occur. Here on Earth, one can eventually eliminate even the wish to steal anything from anyone. Spiritual growth and learning does not accrue by theft, deceit, or force of any kind. Speculation and gambling are not necessarily adharmic, but neglecting one's duties and commitments is. Interest in any amount is not dharmic. By design, it exploits anyone who does not receive interest, including the poor. At the same time, it increases the wealth of those who have enough savings to earn interest. It automatically results in some people deriving gain without laboring or contributing to society, and harming those who labor by devaluing their compensation and what they own. Interest robs the poor to pay the wealthy. It is legally sanctioned, but it is not dharmic. Fractional banking, wherein a bank loans out the same asset on paper 10 times simultaneously, or 30 times, or 30,000 times, is totally adharmic. This practice mercilessly plunders all people who use money. Worldwide, people suffer economically and don't realize why. Banks use their depositors' money and assets to trade internationally during the night for their own profit, which is parasitic and completely adharmic. The banking industry has been adharmic since its inception during the Crusades. The entire financial industry, from banking institutions to stock markets to price fixing of commodities to trading of currencies and futures and even big money makers like athletics, is rigged and corrupt. Yet the image of bankers and banks is honorable, honest, trustworthy, dependable, and dharmic. Projecting this false image is also adharmic, but most people, unknowing, believe it. Besides trading the fruit of our labor, we can choose to give it away, willingly, without any expectations or hope of getting anything in return. This is a pure gift, a pure sacrifice. It does not fall within the realm of commerce, is rigged and corrupt. Pure gifts can be extremely beneficial. In fact, most of the universe operates with pure giving, not with commerce. Our life, our beautiful and bountiful earth, stars, and microbes have all been gifted. If we stop to contemplate how much we have received without laboring in exchange, we gain a different perspective on commerce and on life. Sometimes we wish to carry someone else through a difficult period, physically, emotionally, or economically, and sometimes someone else carries us through a difficult period. On the spiritual path, however, we cannot carry anyone else, and no one else can carry us. The spiritual path is individual, and we can only progress by our own individual choices and actions. We can receive divine grace, and hopefully our subsequent actions are befitting of that grace. The dharma of property, the fruit of labor, and of exchange is vital to spiritual progress, both individually and collectively. Eventually, one desires to gain only through one's own actions. Spiritual progress occurs only through one's own effort and dharma.